DW.
First of all, what exactly is FGM?
Well, there are a few different types of cutting and different communities practice it in different ways. So some partially or totally remove the external clitoris, that's known as type 1 FGM. Others cut part of the labia as well, so that's the inner and outer lips of the vulva, that's type 2. And then the third type of FGM actually involves the edges of the vulva being sewn together, so forming a seal and leaving basically just a tiny opening for urine and menstrual blood to pass through. And the age at which this happens really varies. So in some places, girls are cut as babies. Elsewhere, they might be teenagers. And it can, of course, have very severe consequences. So in the worst case, you can die from being cut. But it can also cause pain, infections, and later in life complications in childbirth and even infertility.
So why do people do this to girls in their communities?
Well, the most important thing to understand about female genital cutting is that for some communities, it's really strongly linked to culture, tradition, and even religious beliefs. So it can be seen as a way of protecting girls, safeguarding their virginity, or curbing their sexuality. And I've been speaking to an activist from Somaliland. Her name's Mariam Dahir. And this is what she told me about the significance of cutting there.
It is a society that's patriarchal view. The girl, she can't be married, she can't be a woman unless she is going through this practice.
Somalia actually has the highest rate of FGM. About 98% of girls are cut there. And according to the UN, that's been steady over the past few years. What about other countries where this is taking place? I mean, has there been more progress elsewhere?
Well, you're right. It's not just in sub-Saharan Africa. It's also practiced in Egypt, Yemen, Iraq, Indonesia, parts of Southern Asia as well. And of course, some girls from diaspora communities in Europe and North America are also at risk of being cut. But in terms of progress, the UN says that today a girl is about a third less likely to be cut than she was 30 years ago. And it also claims that about 9,000 communities around the world have committed to stop practicing female genital cutting. So we are definitely seeing progress, but at the current rate, it's actually not enough to reach the UN's goal of ending FGM by 2030. And that's what the activists that I spoke to were saying as well. I want to play you a clip now of Lisa Kamara. She's an activist in the Gambia with the NGO Safe Hands for Girls. And I asked her why the figures for FGM in her country have remained constant at around 3/4 of women being cut.
I don't see a lot of effects happening or a lot of numbers dropping down, but I would see in the next 10 years or so when, you know, my generation and even younger people get married, that is the time we will get the real numbers. I would say we are on the right track that is targeting young people to make sure that we safeguard the future generation. For instance, I am a young person and I just had a child. A daughter, I know that my daughter will never be cut. But when it comes to our mothers and our grandmothers, it is a very hard thing to get the older women to abandon their tradition and culture.
So apart from the difficulty of changing such long-standing traditions and cultural beliefs, what other challenges are there standing in the way of reducing FGM?
Well, I think you're right that social pressure and expectations are the main thing. And in some countries, religion also plays a role. So in some places, there are religious leaders even preaching about the importance of cutting. But there are some other developments too. And one of them is medicalization of genital cutting. That means when it's carried out by professional healthcare workers, so doctors and nurses within the health system. That's really common in countries like Egypt, Sudan, also Indonesia, and it's becoming a trend in other countries too. So in some places, for example, when you give birth in a hospital, you can even choose to have your baby cut as part of their birth package. So when people start to see FGM as a medicalized health procedure rather than a traditional practice, that's something that can really slow progress in reducing the number of girls being cut.
So progress has been slow. What still needs to happen?
Well, the activists that I've spoken to, so Lisa in the Gambia, Mariam in Somaliland, for them, the key thing really is education. And of course, they are in very different contexts. They're on different sides of the continent. But they both told me they felt that attitudes were changing gradually among younger generations. That's if they got the right information and they were better educated, which of course is a challenge in itself in some regions. Like in Somaliland, for example, illiteracy is quite high. Some activists are also pushing for changes to the law because FGM is still technically legal in 6 countries in Africa. That's Chad, Liberia, Mali, Sierra Leone, Somalia and Sudan. And most of those countries are planning some legislation now. But actually, criminalising cutting doesn't necessarily translate into fewer girls undergoing FGM. So in the Gambia, for example, a ban was introduced there in 2015 and there haven't been any prosecutions, but it has made it easier to talk more openly about FGM, which is progress in itself. So I just want to leave you now with a clip from Lisa Camara. She's the Gambian activist we heard from. And this is what she told me about how the law is helping to open up the discussion.
Now they listen more, even though my grandmother still believes in the practice, my sister still believes in the practice, but she's willing to listen more. And one of my sisters has not caught her child because I said I was going to report her to the police. For me, it's a very big win if I see that she's not caught. At least I know I am protecting other girls, but also protecting my family members would mean a lot for me as an activist. Because if I cannot change minds and perceptions of my family members, you know, how effective will be my work on the ground? DW.